Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Okay, I think we've all seen those early advertisements for new airlines, right? Like a well-coiffed couple, suit and tie for him, A-line skirt, pearls for her, seated comfortably in wider-than-necessary plush seats, tray tables in their downright and unlocked positions just before takeoff. Let's keep rolling nostalgic. She's holding cocktail stemware, pinky out, and he's smiling, leaning toward her, his head cocked to the side because he's gripping actual silverware, including a steak knife, as he's about to tuck into a porterhouse and some scalloped potatoes. The last time I flew, they ran out of snacks before getting to my row, and the flight attendant gave out free booze because the card swiper was busted, and getting on board was a gauntlet of internecine security lines and suspicion. Now, things ain't what they used to be at the airport, that's no duh, but some airlines are focusing on customer satisfaction, and those airlines are at the top of a new list from thepointsguy.com. Here's my chat with an analyst at The Points Guy about the best and worst ranked airlines in the U.S.
Julian Markiel, analyst at The Points Guy.
Not many people have an airline they love, but almost everyone has one they hate, and you nailed it. Because it's true. I hadn't thought about it that way, but it's like, you know what? You have this visceral, emotional reaction to airlines sometimes, and not just any customer service. I think there's so much at stake in an airline flight.
Absolutely. Airline travel is stressful. It just is. You're in a small, confined space for hours on end after having gone through security and being on time and getting your bag checked. It's just a stressful experience. And sometimes stressful experiences bring out the worst in people. It doesn't usually bring out the best in people. And so the reaction to an airline experience is usually a negative one and not a positive one, especially if the airline you're traveling did anything wrong. You might end up holding it against them for the rest of your life.
Right. But that's not necessarily fair. I mean, and we're going to get into your research here in a second because you have numbers to back up some of these points. But just speaking in a very emotional way, I think a neutral experience can almost be considered a positive experience flying these days because of the you know what I mean? Because of the points you made. But it's also kind of a numbers game. I mean, these airlines are handling thousands and thousands of passengers, millions and millions of bags. I mean, it just some stuff's going to fall through the cracks, right?
Exactly. It's a big, complicated system. It's actually a miracle when you think about it that it works so well most of the time. And of course, the safety record, especially of U.S. airlines, is unprecedented. Airline travel is probably the safest form of transportation ever created by human beings. So it's actually really impressive when it all works. But occasionally it doesn't, and that's inevitable. The real question we wanted to know when we set out to do our study is, how often does it not work for these 10 airlines who fly domestically here in the U.S., and who does it better than everyone else?
Right. And that's a great pivot because this airline that is at the top of your list has been in the news recently. So maybe it's a good sign for them. Maybe they get a premium price tag. Who came in at the top?
That's right. At the top of our list was Alaska Airlines. And in the West, you guys probably know a little bit about Alaska. A lot more of the country is going to be knowing about Alaska coming up here in the next year or two because Alaska Airlines is merging with another airline called Virgin America, who also did well in our study. They came in number three. Both of those airlines are doing a lot of things right. Alaska, in particular, scored extremely well in all of our service criteria. They finished top four in on-time arrivals, customer satisfaction, mishandled bags. They don't lose a lot of bags. Their frequent flyer program is the best of all the airlines in this study. They're just doing a lot right. So the question now is, can they maintain that quality while merging with Virgin America, who's also doing a lot of things right? Mergers in the airline industry can be very bumpy, and some in the past have not worked out as well as others. So it's going to be on them to make it all work.
Yeah, so a glass half full approach would bring out Virgin's customer service and its cabins and its interiors and its overall vibe, because all Virgin branding has vibe to it.
Yeah, very possibly. The one area Alaska didn't do well is in the size of their route network. They just don't serve as many cities as some of their big brothers. But put these two airlines together and their reach really will start to rival those big three legacy carriers. So it could really end up being a terrific for the consumer, and Alaska could be a very tough competitor in the years to come.
Well, let's talk about United for a second, because you mentioned merger in your previous answer, and you know United is a huge airline and just seems to be getting bigger and bigger. How did it fare?
Yeah, United actually came in number two in our study, and that might be surprising to some people because they did have quite a few problems with their merger with Continental a few years back. So, but in this case, what happened with United is, according to our data, they aren't doing anything perfectly. They weren't the top in any of our criteria, but they're doing a lot of things very well. They scored very consistently in the top four of our study, and they aren't doing anything terribly. They didn't finish in the bottom four in anything except for customer satisfaction, so they've got a little work to do there. Obviously, they're also a big airline that covers a lot of cities and a lot of routes, so that helps them as well, and their prices are about middle of the pack. So put it all together, that was enough to vault them into the silk.
And we've been talking about the top end of the list a little bit. We're going to have to drift downwards towards the bottom of your list. Let's say has room for improvement.
That's the tactful way of putting it. You know, a lot of people don't like Spirit, and the data shows they have every reason not to like Spirit because they finished dead last in our survey, and the reason they finished dead last in our survey is because they finished dead last in four of our 10 criteria. They were at the bottom in on-time arrivals, in cabin comfort, in customer satisfaction, and their frequent flyer program is practically non-existent.
Julian, what did I miss that you might have wanted to include?
Tell you, the only other real surprise that we saw in our study was Delta at number seven. In the industry, and for those of us who follow the industry closely, Delta has been generally considered doing a pretty good job at running an airline in the last few years. And actually, when you dig down into our numbers, that is true. They got actually very good scores in things like on-time arrivals, in things like customer satisfaction, in things like the size of their route network. They're a big airline that can get you almost anywhere. The problem that Delta had in our study and what really hurt them is their price. They are the most expensive tickets of all the airlines in our study. It's a case of you get what you pay for. If you want to get from point A to point B on time and with your bag, you might have to pay a little bit more to fly on Delta.
I see. Okay, cool. And any trends in there? And specifically, I'm wondering, like, anything for customer rewards programs? Anything bubbling up there?
Alaska is clearly the best frequent flyer program going right now. And again, a lot of people might think, well, I'm not going to fly Alaska anytime soon. But the power of Alaska's program, and with a lot of these frequent flyer programs, isn't so much redeeming miles to fly on that airline, but redeeming to fly on the partners that that airline has. That opens up a lot more possibilities for you. And Alaska, along with the big three, United, American, and Delta, have a lot of partners. So when you're redeeming miles on the airline, take a look at those partners, because that might get you somewhere that you didn't think of in a way you didn't think of.
That's a good tip to clip there from an analyst at thepointsguide.com. Julian, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Julian Markiel. He's an analyst at thepointsguide.com. There's also a link to his full report at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We thank Mr. Markiel and all of our guests for joining us this week. We had Wendy Sachs, who is tackling workplace pivots for mid-career women. And we had smart glass company Kinestral. An update on Kinestral since we recorded that segment. A unit of the same people who make Apple's smartphones, Foxconn, will be converting their plant so that Kinestral can make more smart windows for homes and offices. There's also a link to smart glass technology on the whole at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We also post a playlist of the music we use each week on the show at that same Facebook page. If podcasts are more your thing, we convert each of our segments into bite-sized listening snacks. Just search Techonomics on Stitcher, iTunes, and or Audioboom. maybe tap subscribe and give us a whirl for a couple of weeks. And we also digitally thrive and archive the show at kgoradio.com/Techonomics. And if you're on the Twitters, my handle is at KGOJason. One last thing. We try to do gig economy stories. So if you're gigging, if you have side hustles, let us know. Tweet me at KGOJason or drop us a line at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Just drop something in the comments and we'll find it. And now, for producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics, and we hope you have great weeks, everybody.